Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are growing us up in Christ, that you're maturing us and helping us, Lord, to become who you want us to be. I pray, Father, that each and every one will hear what you're saying to them. Lord, that in this word tonight, Lord, there be not one person, Lord, that leaves out of here not being blessed and encouraged and strengthened by the word of God in some way. And Father, I just thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, we are doing a brief series on Wednesday nights right now, just entitled Learning How to Fight. And just so you know, this is not going to be an in-depth study on spiritual warfare. This is like spiritual warfare 101, okay? This is going to be very simple, but it is a beginning place for most believers, because the truth is that most believers don't have a clue about the spiritual warfare that we're in. And some of them that think they do, they're really missing some important key principles. And so that's where we're at in this series. And tonight, if the title is Learning How to Fight Part 2, all right? I got fancy titles in this series. But it's been 2 weeks since we started this series, and I just want to take a few minutes to review. I think it's a good idea to do that anyway, but especially when it's been a couple of weeks. You know, anytime you're going to talk about spiritual warfare, you got to go to Ephesians chapter 6. And so you might want to take note of that one also. But we're going to read verses 10 through 13, talking about learning how to fight. You are in a spiritual battle, whether you know it or not, whether you believe in it or not, it doesn't change it. You're still in it. And I'm just telling you, you need to become aware, and we need to know how to fight the good fight of faith. You know, now I'm talking about the good fight of faith, all right? Some people are like, I know how to fight. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this spiritual warfare, and I'm telling you, a lot of the times, the things that you learned in the natural, they don't work in the things of the Spirit. A lot of things in the kingdom are backwards, and you need to understand that. In fact, let's just go ahead and read this, verses 10 through 13, Ephesians chapter 6. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now that's where we're going, is to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to get there eventually, but we could just jump right in there, but I want you to see that in this spiritual fight, there are some things that we need to understand. There are some truths that we need to know before we're ready to jump in the fight. Next week, we're going to finally get to that finally, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. We're going to finally get to the finally. But there's some things we need to understand before you're really ready to stand against all the wiles of the devil. First, we got to know who we are in Christ. You need to understand your position in Him. It is a place of rest where you are resting by faith in what Jesus Christ has already done for you. You need to know who you are in Christ. You're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everything is under His feet. And we're part of the body of Christ. You need to understand that you're fighting with the victory. Not for the victory. You're fighting with the victory from a position of strength. We need to remember that in Him, we're the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. And so in our spiritual battle, listen, the accuser of the brethren will always try to beat you down and get you to back off by accusation and condemnation. But when you know who you are in Christ, that you stand before God justified, cleansed, washed, righteous before Him, then you can be bold as a lion. I want to remind you of this verse, Proverbs 28 and 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So it's important to know who you are in Christ and that you've been made righteous. So if we're going to stand against all the powers of darkness, you got to know who you are in Christ, that you're a child of God, a son, a daughter. And that whatever accusation, whatever condemnation the enemy tries to bring against you, that it won't stand because Jesus Christ has justified you. Let me give you these two verses again from Romans 8. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I'm just telling you, you got to know that in Christ, you already have victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That in Christ, you're already seated in the heavenly places. You got victory. Now tonight we're going to pick it up in Ephesians chapter 4 with verse 1. And we're going to spend some time here in Ephesians 4 and 5 mainly. All right? So Paul says, therefore, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now spiritually, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And now he's talking about walking, to walk worthy of our calling. Listen, walking in the scriptures is always talking about living. It's talking about that practical outworking of what's happened in your life on the inside, that you're living out what you believe. You're living out what God has done in your life. There's a story about a young soldier who was promoted to a higher rank. And after a while, or for a while, his new position didn't really seem to affect him much or affect his relationships with his buddies much. But then there finally came a time where he had to give those guys orders. They were no longer just his buddies. They were men that he had to give orders to. And so the relationship changed when he had to start living out his new position of leadership and authority. And I'm telling you that as a believer, that we have to live it out. It's not just a label. It's not just something that, you know, it's not just done in the heavenly places, but it's also something that has to be lived out in our life every day. And listen, it has everything to do with our behavior, and most of all, it has to do with the way that we treat other people. I've known some people that thought they were really, really spiritual. They thought they were big into spiritual warfare, but they totally missed it because the way they treated other people. They didn't walk in love. They didn't lift other people up. They didn't edify other people. They went around like a religious Pharisee beating people down. I'm just telling you, in this warfare that we're in, you're going to see it tonight in the scripture. It's so important how you treat other people. Our position is something that he did. We did nothing to earn it, but we got to walk it out in our life. Now, you can't do it on your own. We're relying upon the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I know some of you are wondering, what in the world does this have to do with learning how to fight? Well, listen, if you're really going to stand against the wiles of the devil, don't you think you ought to be living for God? I mean, if you can't live for God, how can you face off with an enemy like Satan? How can you take on all the powers of hell if you can't even live a life, what do you say? Worthy of your calling. Y'all just thinking, right? That's why y'all are quiet, right? You're just thinking, right? How can we take on all the powers of hell if we can't even live a Christian life and really live for God? See, we're not ready to stand against the wiles of the devil if we can't live for God. And I'm just telling you, there are a lot of believers that in this spiritual war that we're in, they do more harm than good. So we got to learn how to walk before we learn how to fight. You got to walk before you can fight. So the book of Ephesians tells us a lot about how to walk and how not to walk. I know I told you we're going to stay in 4 and 5 mostly, but let me just give you a couple real quick from Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, it says, "You he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Verse 10 of that same chapter, he says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I just want you to see how often he talks about this principle of walking it out, how you live out your life, how you live out your faith. We read one just a moment ago, Ephesians 4, 1, that we walk worthy of our calling. Verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "You should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." Chapter 5, verse 2, he says, "And walk in love." I like that one. "As Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Verse 8 of chapter 5, he says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Verse 15 of that same chapter, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." You see, that walking is the living out of our Christianity. You can't live the Christian life in your own strength. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes the Lord Jesus helping us. Amen? And I want to say that very clearly. When I say that we got to walk it out, I'm not talking about just in the strength of our own ability, but with the Lord's help. Listen, you can live this life. You can live a life worthy of your calling. And that's what he's called us to do, is live a life that brings glory and honor to him. That old sinful nature, listen, it's got to be less of us and more of him. Amen. That's the answer. I want to remind you of this verse, Galatians 2:20. He says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." I wish that we would all just take that to heart tonight, that it's no longer me. This life I'm living, no longer me, but it's Jesus living in me. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer me living, but it's Jesus living in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm keeping you busy, aren't I, Heather? I hear some of you flipping a little bit, but I'm just going fast because I want you to, well, I want to get through these tonight. I want you to see how important it is that we really live this life for God. But you need to understand that it's Jesus living in us. That is the life that we've been called to live, is letting Jesus live in us. Now let's go back to Ephesians 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3 this time. We're going to get a little further. He says, "I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." I'm going to tell you, that can be really hard to do in your own strength. You talk about lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Listen. Bearing with one another in love. That's when you just can't hardly stand somebody, or you can't hardly stand the way they're acting, at least, or the way they're doing, and you just bear with them. Long suffering. That's hard to do. And I know some of you are still thinking, what is he talking about? This isn't teaching us how to fight. I'm telling you, you got to learn how to walk first. And this is how you walk, is that we live a life of love towards one another. We treat other people right. You're going to get it. Listen, our position in Christ has to do with our relationship with God. You are, if you're born again, listen, you are right with God. He has forgiven your sin. And you're right with God. That's settled. You can rest. But how we walk has primarily to do with our relationships with other people. How we treat other people. Most of the time it has to do with how we treat others. Now let's go to the end of this chapter, Ephesians 4. Let's go to 25 through 32. He says, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now let's just talk about this for just a minute. He says, be angry and sin not. Listen, I'm just telling you, I see a lot of Christians, they're just angry. Listen, we got to get to that place where even when the world makes us angry, even when life makes us angry, we don't sin. That we keep a right heart, that we keep a right attitude. I want you to remember what he said. He said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Listen, if you're just staying mad all the time, you need to get your heart right. Because I'm telling you, the enemy is at work in your camp. I'm talking about in your own heart. If you're allowing yourself to stay mad. He says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That means you're supposed to settle it in your heart before you go to bed. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to settle all the issues that you have with people, but you're going to settle in your heart where you don't go to bed mad. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. What are you supposed to do instead? Well, you're supposed to forgive. You're supposed to forbear. You're supposed to show long-suffering. I believe some of you are going to understand this in a minute, why this is so important. Then in verse 27, he says, neither give place to the devil. And here it is, church. We're talking about spiritual warfare. We're talking about the enemy of our soul. We're talking about standing against all the wiles of the devil. And I'm telling you, a whole lot of people, they just open wide for an attack from Satan because of issues in their life with other people. And a lot of the time, now this is one that he hits over and over in this passage, it has to do with anger. It has to do with being mad. Well, he said, get rid of all bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking, all malice. And instead, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, just as Christ forgave you. And then he goes on to say, chapter 5, he says, and walk in love. I want you to see this. It has to do with us treating each other right, and it's so important. Listen, we can't fight the devil if we're fighting with each other. Satan is such a deceiver. He can't win unless we get stupid. And let me tell you what stupid is when you think that other people, and especially your brothers and sisters in the Lord, are your enemy. So many Christians are duped when they should be fighting Satan and fighting against the powers of darkness. They're all mad and angry at other people. And so the scripture says, don't give place to the devil. Put away anger and bitterness and wrath and malice. Put it away. Get rid of it. And I want to tell you something else he says right there in that same passage in Ephesians 4, those last few verses. He says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. This is what grieves the Holy Spirit. Bitterness, wrath, anger, malice, evil speaking. That grieves the Holy Spirit. See, some people want to say, when people are lukewarm and they're in sin, that grieves the Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm sure it does, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about how we treat other people and the attitude of our heart. And the one time that we ought to be angry and sin not, but be angry, is when we face off with the devil. He's the one who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's where our battle is. It's not with other people. But we can't even face off. We're not ready for the wiles of the devil because we're mad at other people. How foolish. How ridiculous. You think other people are your problem. You've been duped. I've had the privilege of having people tell me that I was their problem. They said, you're my problem. Had a guy come in the office one day. He says, I got a problem. You're my problem. He's deceived. But I'm just telling you, church, we got to get this. We can't be ready to fight the devil if we're fighting with one another and if we're angry with other people. You got to deal with that. Let me read it one more time. See, when you allow that anger to get in, not treating other people right, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice. Now, I see so much of this in our society right now. Anger, wrath, malice, evil speaking, just talking trash, running people down, saying ugly things. So much anger. But here's what really, really grieves me, and I believe it grieves the Holy Spirit. You read this passage, you got to know it grieves the Holy Spirit. Is there so many believers that are allowing anger and wrath and bitterness in their heart, malice, evil speaking, and listen to me, they've given place to the devil. That's what the Bible said. Don't give place to the devil. Get rid of these things from out of your life. When you allow that in your life, you're just opening the door. You want to fight a spiritual warfare? Well, here's where you start. You got to know that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that you're right with God. The next thing you need to do is you need to walk in love and treat people right. Get rid of the anger and the malice. Remember what Jesus said to James and John when they wanted to call down fire on some people? Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. See, that's the wrong spirit. Whenever you hear Christians getting all self-righteous and being mean and angry and wrong spirit. And I got to tell you, I'm preaching this tonight because I really believe that we need this in the body of Christ. But I got to say, this is the most loving, sweetest group of people that I've ever seen gathered together in one church. And I say that from the bottom of my heart. I truly mean that. So I don't want anybody to think that, hey, the pastor's scolding us tonight. No, it's not like that at all. But I'll tell you what, we do need to be on guard. We need to be wise. Because there's so much of this out there. We can't afford to allow. What did he say? Give place to the devil. We can't afford to give place to the devil. See? And you open up in your workplace, in your home, and even in the church. We can't afford to give place to the devil. And how do you do that? By having anger and malice and wrath. I just want to remind you, verse 12 of chapter 6, he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And how amazing it is that so many believers waste their time and energy fighting other believers. Same team. You ever seen two guys both going for a loose football and they don't realize they're both on the same team? And so many Christians are fighting against one another instead of fighting against the enemy. I'm just telling you, it's almost been comical because since we've moved into this new building and it kind of made a little bit of a splash, you know, and we mailed out the big mail out about our grand opening, invited everybody to come, and we've done some, you know, advertising or PR on Facebook. And man, does it make the religious devils mad? We hadn't had one atheist call us up or write us letters or comment on our Facebook or anything. But we've had all kinds of religious devils just mad as all get out. You know, our little postcard says, grace is for everyone. They say, well, you don't know anything about regeneration if you think grace is for everyone. They accused us of being relevant. I'm like, okay. As opposed to irrelevant? I mean, we've been called all kinds of things, you know. Faith preacher, as opposed to doubt preacher. Jesus was a faith preacher. He preached faith. He said, have faith in God. We got plenty of doubt and unbelief in this world. But it's amazing. Now listen, I'm not coming against those people. I just want you to understand how crazy it is in this religious world where Christians attacking Christians all the time. They think, well, you Christians, y'all are the problem because you didn't come through my knothole. You're the problem. Listen, we got an enemy, an adversary who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the problem. That's why we got to learn how to walk before we're ready to fight. You got to learn how to treat people, how to love people. See, long as we're doing the devil's work for him, we're done whooped. He's the accuser of the brethren. And yet so many Christians do that for him. Let me accuse some people. Don't be a tool of the devil. Nobody wants to be a tool, right? But so many people are. Listen, when you get angry and you're attacking, you're setting yourself against other Christians, you're being a tool of the devil. Because that's what he does, is he accuses, he condemns. Man, you're putting yourself in a bad way because it is Christ Jesus who justified. Who is he who condemns? That's the devil's work. You need to be careful about that. We've had a lot of soldiers in this war that have been wounded by friendly fire. Now that happens a lot of the time in natural battle. But the sad thing is in the church that friendly fire. Well, it wasn't really friendly because it wasn't an accident. I went after them. I know this sounds extreme, but it's the truth. When we fight against our brothers and sisters, remember what Paul said, we don't fight against flesh and blood. But when we fight against our brothers and sisters, we are on the devil's side. We are fighting on the wrong side. Don't be deceived into fighting on the devil's side. When we involve ourselves in strife, we're doing the devil's work. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. It says, if you have bitter envying and self-seeking in your hearts, the King James says strife instead of self-seeking, but one is the cause, self-seeking is the cause, strife is the result. But if you have self-seeking or strife in your heart, he says, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. What is it? Earthly, sensual, demonic. For where there's envy and self-seeking or strife, he says, confusion and every evil thing are there. See, Satan uses deception to make people think that their issue or their fight is with flesh and blood. And consequently, they're ineffective at standing against him. Don't give place to the devil. Listen to this from 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. Paul says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you're still carnal, for there is envy and strife and divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Now, I like the way the King James says it here, though. He says, you walk as men. Again, it's about what you're living out. It's how you walk. It's how you behave. But he says, you walk as men. Well, how are you supposed to walk? He's talking about that you're walking just like unbelievers. You're not walking like, see, when you got strife, you're not walking like born again sons and daughters of God. You're walking just like carnal people who don't even know God. Church, we got to keep that strife out and not ever, never give place to it. Don't ever allow it to even get started in our life. In your home, you got to get the strife out. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. Demonic. Many of you, most of you, the vast majority of you know our former pastor of 50 years, Brother Harold Nichols, who passed away this past year, and we certainly miss him. But you know, one of the things that Brother Nichols absolutely hated and stood against was strife. I worked on staff under him from 82 to 92, and I remember many, many times him and Miss Lou saying, we're not going to put up with any strife. We're not going to have any strife. You know why? Because they knew that was the work of the devil. That's the one way that the devil can weaken and hurt a church is through strife. As long as we don't let strife in, he can't get a foothold. He just can't even get started. So church, we got to be wise. If we're going to win this spiritual war, we're going to win. But I'm telling you, if we're going to succeed in our own life and have victory in our own life in this spiritual war, we got to be wise to Satan's tricks, his wiles, his devices, and not allow him a foothold. Don't give place to him in any way. Remember, Jesus prayed that we would be one. I really believe that. In John 17, more than once, several times, Jesus prays that we will be one. And one of the things that he says is that, so the world will know that you sent me. See, what a reproach it is against the church when we fight against one another and the world sees that. What a reproach. A reproach on the church and a reproach on the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we come together as one, and I just believe, let me tell you why I believe it. Not because I see it, but because Jesus prayed it. And I know that Jesus doesn't pray faithless prayers. And I know some people, you know, they get all weird. They want to say, oh, well, some mystical kind of, you know, universal kind of church thing. We're all one. That's not what he was talking about. And if you read the whole passage, it's very plain that he's praying that we would truly be one so that the world will know. That's what he said. The world doesn't know because, you know, this mystical, supernatural, universal church thing, kind of, sort of. The world doesn't see that. They see how we treat one another, how we love one another. That's how they'll know that we're his disciples. Now, I'm preaching it right tonight. Some of you are still thinking, is this really about spiritual warfare? It absolutely is, because if you can't love your brother and walk in love with one another and keep the devil out of your relationships, you're already whooped. Now, you might think that's a little strong, but I'm just telling you, so often we open the door for destruction because we're not treating each other right. So let's start again with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And we're going to read six whole verses this time. I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I'm telling you, it's supposed to be one. Our fight is not with flesh and blood. We got to grow up if we're going to fight the devil. Don't fight somebody that you're going to spend eternity with. And if you, listen to me, if you get that horrible, pharisaical, judgmental spirit and you dare to say, well, they won't be there, you yourself are the one that's in danger. You just judged your own self. Those Jesus' words, not mine. The same measure that you judge, it'll be measured to you. Some of you looking at me. Listen. Okay, we'll lighten up just a little bit, all right? Ephesians 2, 6, and 7. He says, we raised up together, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It's going to be all good. Except for, did you notice that? He said that he raised us up together and made us sit together. Did your parents or a teacher ever make you sit together with somebody that you didn't like? See? Some people are going to be doing that for all eternity. Sitting together with somebody they didn't like. Man, we just need to learn how to do this right. We love one another. Forbear. Walk in long-suffering. Don't let strife in. See, some people want to say, oh, well, it's just me and Jesus. No, it's not. That's never the way it's supposed to be. It's a body. We are members one of another. It was never intended for just be you and Jesus. See, that's what strife does, is it divides us out from everybody and keeps us from strength of other believers that we need, and they need us too. And in this spiritual warfare, I'm going to tell you, you can't do it on your own. Even the Apostle Paul said, pray for me, pray for me. In fact, at the end of chapter 6, he's talking about this spiritual warfare. He says, and pray for me. Church, we all need it. We need each other. So let's go to chapter 5. We're going to move on. My wife's looking at her watch. Stay with me for 5, all right? We're going to go fast. We're not going to aid the enemy, amen? Y'all just say amen and I'm going to move on. Amen. Thank you. Y'all don't even care what I said. You just say amen to anything. All right. Ephesians 5. Let's begin with verse 1. We're going to read quickly, but we're going to read 8 whole verses. I know some of you hadn't read that much in a long time. It's all right. You're going to make it. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He's telling us to walk as children of light, and then he just spelled it out for us what that means, that all this sin and compromise, we don't allow that in our lives. And again, some of you are thinking, what has this got to do with spiritual warfare? So many people who want to live for God, they want to win this fight. And yet, on some level, they allow sin and compromise to stay in their life. And it brings, again, it brings reproach on the body of Christ and on the name of Christ. But you need to understand this. It opens the door for destruction in your life. See, when people do the works of darkness, they're supporting the wrong team. They're working on the wrong team. How many times have we seen a notable minister who falls into sin, and in some way it brings harm, it undermines the work of the kingdom and the church? And it maybe it's on a smaller scale, but the truth is that to some degree that's true with any believer. When we don't live for God and we just do stupid things, it undermines the work of the kingdom. I mean, you talk about destroying your witness, and you're praying for your neighbors, and you're doing spiritual warfare for them. When we stand against the wiles of the devil, we're righteous because of what Jesus did. But listen, when we walk in darkness, it doesn't matter whether it's covetousness or, as the Bible said, coarse jesting. This grieves me sometimes. I've heard off-color, dirty jokes in the church foyer before. It just grieves me. Because what does that say to the backslidden, the lukewarm, or the lost person? It just makes a joke of our faith. It's not real, that we're just religious. And I'm just telling you, church, if we're going to win in this spiritual warfare, we got to live for God. Walk as children of light. We're going to close with this one last passage from Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read 9 through 15. Y'all could have just stayed home and read Ephesians, right? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See, we can't live in sin or compromise and be really ready to face off with the powers of darkness. Listen, your righteousness is a free gift. It's of Him. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But so often, when people are disobeying God not doing what they're supposed to do, involving themselves in the works of darkness, the unfruitful works of darkness, they just opening the door for trouble in their life. Don't do the devil's work. Don't aid the enemy. And when we know who we are in Christ and we really live the life we've been called to and we take a stand against the devil, I'm telling you, it is all over but the crying for Satan. He is a defeated foe. Listen, when we walk in love towards one another and we know who we are in Christ, I'm telling you, the devil, there's nothing he can do against you. You have power over him. Don't give him a chance. Don't have any mercy on him. Amen. We're learning, church. We're learning how to fight. Anybody learn anything tonight? All right, well, stand with me. I'm just going to dismiss you quickly tonight and just pray over you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these who are soldiers for Jesus Christ. Whether they know it or not, Lord, I just call them that in Jesus' name. Lord, that they're going to rise up in victory in their life. Lord, they're going to see many great miracles. They're going to see many changed lives and many people come to the Lord. And Lord, that you're going to use them, Lord, in spiritual battle to make a difference in this world and to, as children of light, Lord, to carry this gospel. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.